Hello, America, and to our friends around the world. Dave and Doug here, and we do Intel, and we're going to compare Intel on Executive Order 13603. And Doug is uniquely qualified to discuss this because of his background in DHS, and he and people that were his level would understand such things and how the government can get around the Fifth Amendment and a bunch of other amendments and control you when they want to. The executive order we're going to talk about in this show was perpetrated by Obama, and I would have thought that Trump, in both of his terms, would have done away with this executive order because it's such an egregious violation of our civil liberties, but he has not. And it basically makes the government one big dictator, and you'll own nothing and love it. And I'm not exaggerating when I say it. Before we get to the goods here, I'm coming to you from the Noble Gold Studios. And listen, the banks, 1,000 banks, are unstable right now. They can take your money if they get in enough trouble. Dodd-Frank 2010. Let Noble Gold help you out of this mess. 877-646-5347. Or go to DaveHodgesGold.com. And Doug also is training people strategically. He's helping people learn how to use firearms safely, how to basically protect yourself and not endanger yourself and other people. Doug, tell people about what you do here, and then let's tell people how they can get trained.
Hey, Dave. Yeah, so my name is Doug Thornton. I own Vindicta Solutions. We do our best to train up average civilian. We have a lot of people who are either former law enforcement, current law enforcement, prior veterans who just want to sharpen the iron. When it comes to firearm skills, we do live fire. We also do scenario-based training, which is our goal is more or less to get the average man and woman, the average homeowner, better prepared for a violent home invasion that may happen. We want to be able to show you what the law says, the proper way to act around law enforcement, knowing your rights, knowing your state rights, where you can carry, where you can't carry. A little bit of a law class, but also, teaching you different things that you would be incorporating if you actually have a home invasion or a violent encounter. Pretty much it's always you have a certain way to act around people. And we try to give you more tools for the toolbox so that you'll be more successful and safer. Because let's say something bad happens, you are carrying a firearm, and you do discharge that firearm and, the effort of protecting your life or others, well, then there are follow-on consequences. And that comes with law enforcement showing up, typically your detainment or arrest, seizure of the weapon, and then from there, potential prosecution. And we help walk you through that and kind of teach you and talk to you about what that process is so that you're not a deer caught in the headlights. There's a lot of little things there, especially when it comes to active shooters. If you ever get caught in it, how should you react if you're a person who's caught up in an active shooter and you actually own a gun and you decide that, hey, I'm going to be the hero today and try and protect some lives. And then law enforcement shows up. How should you properly respond? We do our best to speed people up on this. I think in law enforcement, we failed a lot of people because we train ourselves up very well. In the military, we train ourselves up very well. The average civilian does not get to receive that same training constitutionally to understand your rights, how to defend yourself, what proper applications you should be doing, proper medical procedures, basic safety with weapons, basic maintenance, even basic medical. So we do our best to try and get everyone kind of caught up and on the same playing field. We're not going to make you Navy SEALs and, all these cool guy stuff. We just want to make sure that if something happens, you can handle yourself, and that we've had people from, 21 to into their mid 70s who've been at these courses, and some of them five or six times. It's a really cool atmosphere. We are absolutely Christ focused and centered on everything that we do. There's no drinking, there's no drugs, there's no craziness. We're very serious about what we do. Our little team, we do our best to try and present as much as possible to people when they come out to us. Training should be picking back up around springtime. We typically train out in Tennessee, and if you haven't noticed, the weather's been kind of nasty. So if you go to VindictaSolutions.com, you'll be able to see where we're going to be picking back up on training. We had a ladies-only event late September. It went very well. We're probably going to start off this spring with a ladies only pistol rifle course, the way it's looking. We've had a lot of requests for that, so we'll probably open up with that. We also have a new sponsor, and it's Prepper Co. So if you go to prepper-coco.com, they're the one who's kind of phased out ready-made resources and are picking back up for us. So they've got a lot of stuff that is going to be drop shipped, stuff that's get to you really fast, helmets, lasers, lights, a lot of stuff for your firearms needs. They have a really cool water supply apparatus there. Let me pull it up. Let me see. FloJack. So FloJack's a really cool thing. FloJack is a plus hand well pump. So power goes down, you take your pump tank off, and you just put this right on top of where the existing pipe is, and you start pumping, and water's going to start coming out, even if you don't have water. Living on 5 acres on a little homestead, if we lose power and I don't have a generator, or if I ran out of gas, I can manually hand pump this, and it goes down to 200 feet. So it's a pretty cool kit. It's pretty reasonably priced for what it is. They've got CBRN protection stuff, so gas masks, going to be having medical gear, freeze-dried food, night vision, stuff like that. So if you want to be able to support those guys, it's Prepper-Co. Good group of dudes. And yeah, that's it for me.
Yeah, that's pretty cool stuff here. It's something that people need to learn how to do. And listen, folks, you need to prepare to defend yourself against the system. And I don't mean be violent. I'm said defend. And defend means when they lose control of society and there are food riots or any other kind of riots or civil disorder of any type, you first of all want to try to get out of harm's way, but then if you're backed into a corner, you better know how to defend yourself, and this is an opportunity to do so. And then we talk about the gold part of it too. Banks aren't stable in crisis, people, and gold and silver are a good way to preserve your wealth for after the crisis. So we're talking about the same thing here. You really need, what is it? You'd be in the world, but not of the world. You need to be able to survive in the world. Okay, but you want to be outside their system as much as possible, and for a lot of reasons. I mean, Doug and I spent an hour talking before we came on about spirituality and our duty as Americans versus our duty to God. And there are conflicts built in today to that. But anyway, I digress. We wanted to talk about Executive Order 13603. And Doug, I pulled up AI as we were talking earlier. They're lying through their teeth. Section 601 says that they can enlist people of outstanding talent without compensation. And there would be two drafts, Selective Service, and Secretary of Labor would control a civilian labor force. AI said there is no unwilling conscription to force labor. That's not true. It's in Section 601 and 602. And AI, Lee, I asked AI, produced the section for me, and it refused. All it did was give me a summary. Talk about being programmed to mislead people. But this came about with Obama, and this is crazy that we have this. And Doug, it's not just forced labor. They can come get your food or anything associated with agriculture. Plows, hoes, rakes, seeds, dog food. Yes, you heard me. They take Fido's dog food. That's all covered in what they can do. And they can control all communication. They can take all precious metals. I mean, and first of all, executive order should be illegal. Okay. This is something that Congress should be wrestling with instead of one man sitting in the Oval Office. And that's my big objection to this, other than how many constitutional violations that I just mentioned. So, Doug, let me throw it back to you. In your work in DHS, did you bump up against some of these regulations that people would find offensive?
I mean, we had people ask us about it. Your average law enforcement officer in DHS honestly probably doesn't know most of this. I mean, let's just say we're no different than anyone else. We're just as lazy as anyone else not to read into executive orders, which Laziness is an excuse that only gets you so far until you get into these existential matters. The National Defense Resources Preparedness, the DPA Act, when you learn that it can prioritize and allocate resources for the defense of the homeland, emergency preparedness, and it kind of stops right there. It's a way that the government speaks. So it's very vague and it covers a lot of things that allows lawyers. This is the part that most people don't understand, especially when it comes in term to like your constitutional rights, any type of federal law. It's pretty vague, so that if an attorney general, U.S. attorney general, prosecutor thinks you are hitting elements or parts of this federal law, or they need to enforce this executive order, and they have elements and shadows and fragments and parts of a federal law, and they can kind of sort of manufacture an affidavit in some sort of credible way to link you to that, that's what they do. And then it'll get shut down in court. Judge will shut it down, or then they'll try and ask for a higher court. And then they'll start compiling more evidence and, witness this, case law this. And sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't work. It just depends on how much the government really wants you, I guess. But with this, let's just say if we have a huge cyber attack, okay? And this cyber attack was designed to take down a large element of the grid. Not all the grid, not three quarters of the grid, not half. But if it just took out the eastern seaboard, or even better yet, the western seaboard, the government could say, we are now going to force all of the linemen to go to the western side of America and start rerunning new wire. Whatever it is that linemen do, I'm not an electrician, so you guys who are, you're crazy. I love you guys to death. But I don't play with electricity. Last time I did that, I got hurt. But we want you to restart the grid. We want you to start reconnecting everything. They're now going to get forced to go and do it. Because let's say, they said, hey, we're not going to go do this. We've got other issues. We decide we're going to, protest, and we're actually not going to go help. Well, the government can say, no, you are going to go help. So if the government says you are going to go and help, who's going to force them to go and do it? Are you going to go and arrest every single lineman and then throw them into jail? Are you going to incarcerate them? No, because you need their assistance. You can force labor them. But that becomes some tricky words. How do you force labor a free citizen? Well, you have to suspend rights. So part of 13603 is the suspension of rights, the Bill of Rights, where you would then implement martial law. Martial law is a military term. When we bombed Japan and then we took over Japan, Japan was ruled by a general, I believe a general. That's martial law. What the president and the government does is they declare a state of emergency, and they can suspend states' rights, or they could suspend this right. They tried that during COVID, right? And then you had a lot of different states that were then going and they were suing Donald Trump in federal court, or they were suing the federal government or DHS or, FEMA or whoever. And then you have that court battle back and forth, right? But if we don't have the obligation of having court because it's a national defense priority, court's not going to be convened for this. The current commander in chief is going to executive order the military shall pick itself up along with federal resources, which would mean federal law enforcement and whoever else would be attached to this mission. You're now going to go and seize and push through and then go to this objective, and you're going to go implement the president's will until that executive order is rescinded, right? Rarely, I think, have we ever seen that even happen in America. And if so, never to the extent as to what we're talking about. So I guess the real conversation, Dave, is what event is it that takes us to that point
Yeah, exactly.
that the government would say, listen, you guys are about to do this. We have to. It's national defense. It would have to be an attack upon the homeland. That's the biggest, the first and biggest one.
Would a grid down serve that purpose, or would it be worse?
It would depend because what caused the grid? Was it a natural thing like a CME? Obviously, weather's gotten kind of weird. We're seeing, the northern lights in Texas. I saw them down here in Mineral Wells, Texas, just a few weeks ago. The whole sky was red. Really weird. We thought, a whole field was on fire. But if the CME, like a major, G class CME is hitting us, causing those type of solar storms, and it brings down the grid or it brings down, strategic communication, then could the government say, hey, for national defense, we need to go and seize and allocate, and we need to bring up something new so we can restart communication, we can restart, power generation to this city, to this military base, to this nuclear site that, it has to have electricity. However it is that the government wants to frame that is how they'll do it. And once the government decides, no, we shall go and implement this, in the states' only right is to say, well, we'll see in court. If there's no court being convened, then it's going to get done. I had once thought, could a natural disaster do this? Maybe. They didn't really do it with Katrina. They didn't really do it with the big wildfires, all you
I don't
guys
think
that are
they
on the
were
West
ready.
Coast.
I'm going to tell you what I mean by that, Doug. And this is where I get really worried about Trump's affiliations, Palantir and Peter Thiel. Okay? The business of data, there's nowhere you can go. There's nothing you can do that is not known. And so if they want to steal your precious metals, if they want to take your food, as it says in Executive Order 1603 or 13603, they can come get you to put you in labor operations. They can find you. They can find you. They know who you are. They know where you're at. And they have AI that can calculate what their needs are and how many people they're going to need to do it. These will be decisions made by AI, not by
Well,
politicians.
one of the things that used to worry me, when you learn in investigations, that one of the jokes with special agents is that the federal government has taught us how to, more or less write up the warrant needed to prosecute a ham sandwich. As long as you can find elements and parts of a crime that the ham sandwich committed, well, the ham sandwich can, potentially get. You can affect a warrantless arrest on it, or you can affect a warrant arrest and, prosecute and so on and so forth. But with the use of AI, how quickly can AI write up parts of a criminal probe? And then from there, my Lord, have you seen what AI can do in video? They can. I saw a video, of this guy that was in a store, and some young dumb kid had his phone and he made that AI video of this old man having an affair with another woman while his wife had turned her back and was looking at these clothes and he's standing over here. And he did, with just in, I guess, a matter of moments, hey, AI, show a video of this guy kissing another lady or something. And then he goes with this completely made up generated video that if you didn't really know what you're looking at, you might get fooled. And goes and then shows it to his wife. And guess what that starts? Quite the conversation, right? Quite the argument. If a young dumb kid can download an app for AI, that specific AI, to fool people, what can the government do? Pete Hegseth just recently, and I'm not doing this as like an Illuminati thing. I know I have to say that. So please forgive me if you see me doing that. It's a point. This is freaking ridiculous. Pete Hegseth just said that we are now, going to start using AI and we're going to turn AI into warfare stuff. We've been using AI. AI's been in our Predator drones. It's been in our Reaper drones. We've been using AI generation, I believe, for some of the satellite comms and package designations. I heard a guy, and I don't know how true it is, that even in helicopters and jets, they're trying to find a way or have found a way to use AI. This is, you're getting really sci-fi now. But if you can use AI to fake a false flag and then throw that immediately on Twitter, where you have millions of dumbfounded people who believe anything, that the moment it hits, you have many people who just go, "Oh my gosh, it's there, it must be real." And then you have the knee-jerk reaction, as we used to say colloquially in the government, Operation Knee-Jerk Reaction. Well, hey, it's time for the government to step in and do something. If you can get AI to fake something and then slam down your executive order, and it's already in place, it's already in place, all the moving parts are already moving, and then you actually start causing the false flags to really happen with actual actors in multiple places, no one's going to deny it. Everyone's just going to accept it. That's the whole thing with this 9/11 threat that happened during the Obama administration. You had Christopher Wray, former FBI director. Another 9/11 event's going to happen. It's going to be even worse. Every year, another 9/11 event's going to happen. It's going to be even worse. You watch, it's going to happen. Still hasn't happened, right? It doesn't have to happen anymore. It can be faked. It can be faked. It can be pushed onto the internet. You can strategically place a few assets to then start an active shooter here and there that only needs to take a few moments to scatter people and scare people. Then all of a sudden, you have a complex attack upon American citizens. This is the whole thing that was supposedly planned for, I believe it was New York City and New Orleans, Louisiana, with this Antifa-related
Yeah.
Turtle Island group.
What wasn't that the New Year's Eve plan?
Yeah,
Yeah.
they were going to set up multiple IEDs. You already have people who are unhinged, guided by the government, not but guided by the government, who are already doing these things. I don't know how many times you have to be shown and proved that we created Al Qaeda, we created ISIS, we created a lot of the problems that are out there. Who created
Doug,
Hamas?
let me interject this so people don't reject what you just said. We did Al Qaeda in, it was called the Mujahideen originally, and we did it in Afghanistan to fight against the Russian occupation, and the CIA armed them with Stinger missiles to bring down Russian helicopters, and it was a turning point in that war. Osama bin Laden was actually one of our allies at that time, and we supplied him.
Osama bin Laden and his brother,
That's
I
right.
believe, were flown to Gonzales, Texas, which is on the eastern side of San Antonio, and they learned how to fly prop planes there. If you go to Rock Springs, Texas, which is on the border, and it's, you're heading south from the hill country of Texas, you will go out to a place in Edwards County, which is where Rock Springs is, and you'll see a place where there are old tank husks where they were being taught how to destroy the Russian T tanks.
Yeah.
We did that.
Yeah. And so, we talk about the Taliban. Okay. We had a history with the Taliban. We organized them into a fighting force in the Cold War to fight against Russia. And listen, we can argue about was that wise or not, but on the surface, it appeared to be in the national interest, on the surface. And now Al Qaeda wants to do bad things to us, has done bad things to us.
Well, look at ISIS. Who created ISIS?
Yeah, I
We
know.
did. We helped, we funded along with China. And then one of the second or third leaders of ISIS, who has now found a way to become the president of Syria, was just recently congratulated and handshaked and, hoops and laughs and dinners and entertainment with Donald Trump in the
Yep.
White House. How do you like that, veterans?
Well, I can tell you why that happened. And I'm not saying it's right or wrong, but let me give the underlying reason. Okay, we orchestrated Syria to fall into line because Qatar has a lot of natural gas and oil, and we were going to build pipelines to go through Syria into Turkey, into Europe. And this was I think it was a pretty masterful plan by Trump. And some people think the Gaza deal was the compensation for Israel being cut out of this deal geographically. But Doug, I'm convinced this is exactly why this deal was done. The other thing it did, it eliminated the Russian presence in Syria. It lengthened their supply lines into Africa and really started to hurt their African operations because they had the long supply lines, and it took away seaports that Russia definitely needs. So on the surface, it appeared to be a good move, but this leader is proving not to be such a good friend of the United States.
Well, fool me once, shame on me, right? Or shame on you, or however it is that George Bush ruined that. Gosh, that's so funny to quote it. Why we would ever entreat and why we would ever even agree to work with murderous terrorists is beyond me. And the same for them, us, because we've murdered them more than they've murdered us. But the thing is that this is your government, America. 20 years ago, guys like me were recruited to the military to go fight in Iraq and Afghanistan, just for 20 years later for them to turn around and become allies with them and just forget all the blood that we spilt. And that's how short the memory is for your current Congress.
Doug, let me ask you a question because I think you're making a good argument, but can people and organizations change? And I'll use Japan as an historical example.
Japan's empire imploded and was destroyed. And the family that ran that was imploded and destroyed. Not only that, I really think that westernization of Asia helped eliminate a lot of that and helped to bring, architecture and technology and all this stuff and resource trading. And that was like an eventuality that would just eventually go. And it was already heading that way, back in like what the early 1900s. But the thing is that we dropped a nuclear bomb on them, and that forced the change. And then we spent what? How many decades did we have martial law over Japan?
Well, I think officially it was 7 years under Doug MacArthur's leadership.
Yeah, you have that venture, but then when you continue on, would you not say we still had the ability because we wouldn't allow them to produce certain things?
They
We
couldn't
would
have a
not,
military
they
beyond
couldn't
what
have
we
a
told them to
military.
have. It was much like the Treaty of Versailles and what they tried to do to the size of the German army. That's what we tried to,
Exactly.
that's what we imposed on Japan after the 7 year reign of Douglas MacArthur was over.
That's why there's a Marine Corps Navy base there,
Yeah.
right? Because we agreed to put this here. We're going to be your National Defense Force, and we are more or less going to make sure you stay in line, not police you. But that way you don't grow into another threat again. So, I mean, historically we've done this, right? But with, and that's not an ideology, that's an empire, a kingdom. The ideology that is Islam does not die. Islam has been fought for thousands of years. It has not died. It will not die until Jesus returns and decimates the world. It will be around. And as long as it's around, and as long as we can have the enemy of my enemy be my friend for the moment until we need to backstab them, they're going to be used as an asset because they are an unorganized group of warlords and chieftains and tribal leaders, and everybody's vying for the tippy top of the pyramid. Well, once we, and I say, got our guy into there, and they have this new ISIS leader who's now the president of Syria. That's our guy. We allowed that to happen. Somewhere in the chain of command, we said, we want this guy. We'll work with this guy.
Doug, this is typical. We backed Fidel Castro until he jumped ship and joined the Russians.
Oh, by the way, Saudi Arabia and Turkey are the ones that we help negotiate with that to ensure that happens.
Yeah, I know. Well, the Saudis get to plug into that pipeline I mentioned, so they had financial incentive, and Turkey as well. It's absolutely a crazy world. The Middle East is so volatile. I want to shift gears just for a second here. I know why Trump's in Venezuela. It ain't because of drugs, because what,
No.
5% of the fentanyl and the cocaine comes into the United States, comes out of Venezuela. And I'm not saying you don't use DEA to interdict, but you don't need the whole fleet of the Navy with the most powerful aircraft carrier. They have the world's largest oil supply. China's trying to become a force in our backyard. Based on that, they get 12% of their oil. And they have a big gold supply. and Maduro's in the way. You know what this reminds me of? The Carlyle Group and how they got the Iraq War started.
I see a lot of elements and shades of weapons of mass destruction. We've created now a new blockade upon Venezuela, and any oil tanker that's traversing in and out of those waters. Well, there was just an oil tanker from Britain getting oil from Venezuela. What are we going to do with our own allies? Allow them to flow in and out? Or are we going to enforce it for everything and everyone?
The latter, the latter.
Well,
And I'll tell you this too. Trump is at war with the City of London. If you understand my distinction here, I didn't say the UK. I said the City of London. Trump is at war with them. And I think for good reason. They're still trying. They don't have a powerful military and compared to us or even Russia. But the bottom line is they're very powerful economically and in the banking world. And they still exert imperialism around the world. And Trump is trying to break free of that. And to me, that's an admirable move. But I don't know that Venezuela accomplishes that. What do you think?
Venezuela accomplishes quite a bit for American imperialism. We tell Russia, don't you dare go into Ukraine, or we're going to come there and we're going to slam you, right? And then we also tell Russia, we're going to take over this hemisphere and you stay out of our hemisphere while we're literally right next door to him, fighting him. So American imperialism is eventually going to be one of the many things that's going to be the nail in the coffin for all of our allies and people who chose to remain neutral or trade partners to say, listen, apparently, when it comes to America, if you've got resources they want, they're going to try to assassinate you, stage coups and riots. They're going to try and decimate your economy. They might start, killing your citizens and saying they're drug lords and terrorists. And then soon you got an embargo, then you got all these different restrictions, to be able to do trade and whatnot, and then you're gonna have a blockade, and then here comes the Marines and the Rangers and Delta and DEVGRU, and there you go. Now you're Gaddafi'd. Now you're Saddam
Yeah,
Hussein.
I hear what you're saying, and I'll tell you this. I think Trump's going to have a hell of a hard time putting American boots on the ground if he needs extra soldiers to do it, and I'm talking through the draft.
Well, he.
The young people in this country, it'll be worse than 1968. Hell no, we won't go.
Trump tried this his first term. He tried to dethrone Maduro the first term and install a puppet president. And there's a lot of stuff that hit in their industrial and agricultural area. And it didn't work then. I don't think it's going to work now. What are we going to do when Russia and China decide to mobilize their fleets and head that way to open up the waters? Are we going to get into a legitimate naval battle just because we can't have their resources? I mean, this is stupid. Open up the XL pipeline, put Americans back to work, and actually undamage the economy that he is currently damaging by all the things he's doing. It's not to me, all right, and this is just my opinion, which means nothing. To me, Venezuela is a waste of time. Venezuela has no actual meat on the bone for why America needs to be there, and the war hawks can make all their lies that they want. Lindsey Graham can go out there and he can add whatever he wants, but you're going to sit here and tell me that it's about drugs and we're not going to do
No.
nothing about Mexico or China?
It's the
Get out of
military
town.
industrial complex, Doug.
Well, that is who gets the money. Okay, I'm running out of time, but I'll say this. Trump told everyone he's going to make America wealthy again. Ain't a person received a paycheck yet. The military industrial complex has had much of it. All of his Peter Thiel and Elon and all of his other little, elitist party guys that, they have their own little steak and dinner show with the girl dancers over there at Mar-a-Lago. That's who gets invited to the ballroom, this new billion-dollar ballroom that he's extending on. He won't extend that to the average American, though we're paying for it. He won't do anything for the American people. It's for that elite class, that military industrial complex, his donor base. That's who he is actually curtailing at the end of the day. Or excuse me, he's curtailing us, and he is empowering them, not us. And this is something I've said about Trump since the beginning. The man talked a good talk when he was first became president, and it took us about a year, us in the government, because I was there for his inauguration. I got the inauguration badge and all kinds of stuff sitting over here in my little war chest. Trump fooled everybody. He's fooling everybody again. These people, just like George Carlin said, they're not your buddies. They're not in your best interest. All the lies and lights and cameras and shows and the smiling faces, it's all for naught. This is not for the American people. The American people do not want to be in another war. We have actual problems going on right now. You have, I don't know how much in Washington State right now that's underwater. Okay. We're still giving hundreds of billions of dollars all around the world. You know what the military budget is that's about to get approved by
A
Trump?
trillion. Yeah,
$900 billion.
it's
No
bordering
one
right
from
on a
Hurricane
trillion. Yeah.
Helene, no one from Hurricane Helene last year has received a paycheck. These people who just lost their homes in the fires on the western coast, or those who are losing their homes from Washington, I believe, all the way to Montana. God be with you. We're praying for you guys. But Trump is not there for you. FEMA is not there for you. All right, the disaster recovery centers that are going to pop up. Wait till you go there. I know
Okay.
I've worked those places. The lies that you're going to get told, the frustration you're going to see, but we'll give the government $900 billion. We'll give Ukraine $400 billion. We'll give Israel however much Israel wants. We still give billions of dollars to Mexico while they still kill, hundreds of thousands of people with the cartel drugs. We give money to people all over the world. Money never goes back here, but don't you worry. Tax season rolls around, you better pay your taxes. Remember, because Trump said he'd get rid of the IRS too.
Yeah.
That didn't happen either.
Well, I think that may be a work in progress, best case scenario. Let me ask you a question. I can tell you're obviously really dissatisfied with Trump. What would he have to do to turn things around from your perspective?
I wouldn't even know where to begin, man.
Well,
My best
let's just deal with Venezuela. Let's deal with foreign policy.
advice. I'm an isolationist, and this is the way I am even with my neighbors. You stay on your side of the fence, and I'll stay on my side of the fence, right? I'm a pretty good neighbor. If you need help, you come ask. If I need help, I'll come ask you. There's a mutual agreement there, right? I want to love my neighbor as I love myself. I want to please my Lord in my actions, but we don't do that. America has a bloody history that all the politicians love to ignore, okay? You think MK Ultra is over with? No. Think Project Monarch's over with? No. You think Project Mockingbird is over with?
No, I
No.
agree. But back to my question, what would have to happen from your perspective? If you woke up tomorrow and Trump made some changes, you go, holy crap, I can't believe he did this. This is really good. What would that consist of?
I don't know. I don't really focus on it. And I'll be honest with you, I'm so detached from that world of politics. It doesn't matter to me. Really, what he does with this country at this rate. I want to make sure, at first and foremost, that I am secured and I'm abiding in Christ and he abides in me. First and foremost, seeking first the kingdom of God.
Dave.
After that, the only thing that you as a civilian can do is be good to your neighbor, they're good to you. Try to be an asset, not a liability. But for American policy, what we should be doing is pulling back, defending our borders, actually going after the Mexican cartel. Do I agree with the immigration stuff? Half of it. The other half, absolutely not.
What half don't you agree with?
Okay, here's part of what I don't agree with. We're going to take out a specific base of people who appear to be mainly Hispanic, okay? And we're going to exfil them from this country. And now Trump on Laura Ingraham says we're going to pull in 600,000 people from India so they can work in factories and they can do jobs that he claims Americans are not qualified and too lazy to do. Put Americans back to work. If we got laws on the books, enforce them. Okay. If they're not something that's violating people's rights and constitutions or the U.S. Constitution, enforce the law on the books. And you know what? It wouldn't hurt if we enforce a law in the Capitol first, because we got probably more than you know that are politicians, Republican and Democrat, who are violating law. Insider trading, whatever you want to call it, all the
Oh, no, Doug, it's
this stuff we
legal
were
for
talking about
them.
earlier.
We're the only ones who go to prison. They get to do it.
So if go back to the beginning with executive orders, if the government can say, hey, today it's legal for me to come and take Dave Hodges' stuff. Don't worry, Doug. I know that you're a Christian and you don't want to violate the commandments of God, but Romans 13 says obey the government. Right? Hold on. Now you're abusing power. Because I've also read the rest of the Bible where the Lord is not happy with the wicked. He is very much not happy with kings who are abusing their powers. You can go and read the Old Testament and learn about this. The best thing for us is to educate ourselves on the Bible, be Bible literate, educate yourself on your constitutional rights, your Bill of Rights, your state rights, which most people don't want to do, and I get that. But the more knowledge you know, the more you understand how the government is trying to circumvent, right? I mean, eventually, man, the beast system comes, the rise of the Antichrist and false prophet, and in comes Jesus, and he decimates the world. And then we finally have order restored, right? Patience and endurance is what I'm told to have.
But that may not happen in our lifetime.
Man, I don't know about
Yeah,
that.
but you
Things
know,
are speeding up.
we're commanded not to speculate as to the hour and day of the return.
Boy, I wish you would tell that to some of the preachers who surround you.
Listen, I'm just quoting the Bible here. I'm not responsible for what a preacher says that's preaching, shall we say, socially correct doctrine.
Yeah, that's a good word. We call it false doctrine in the ministry business.
Okay, all right.
But yeah, look, when it comes to foreign policy, I'm an isolationist. Let's get America back on the right path. Let's get people back into work. Let's actually fix the economy. Let's actually fix the health care and not at fixed interest rates. If I were president, I would liquidate insurance companies tomorrow. That would be one of the first things
Ooh,
I would
boy,
do.
I'll tell you and a guy named Vexler are saying the same thing. I've been doing a series on the fact that property tax tied to school bonds does compound interest. They overvalue the homes to the tune, get this, of $23 trillion. And it's forcing senior citizens on fixed incomes to lose their homes. Texas is looking into it. Dick Paxton has already taken the bull by the horns. DeSantis is trying to take moves. They want to transfer property tax into what they call compound state sales tax, where it's uniform state to state. And they probably could do 2 to 3% raise. Sure, a hell of a lot better than property tax and the fraud. People, listen to me. I've done the homework on this. If you vote for a school bond, you're voting for your own enslavement and the possible stripping of your equity of your home.
Well, there's a lot of things coming down the pipeline. These data centers, maybe that's something we can do another show on. But you talk about stealing your water, stealing your power, and making you pay for it. I know in
Oh,
my area of Parker County, Texas, we're being subsidized to pay for the power that's going to a data center. No one has to get put in,
yeah,
but
listen to this.
Trump wants it.
We have a center out at the what we call the 303 and I-17. It's about 25 miles as the crow flies from me. And we got notified by Arizona Public Service, APS, we call them Arizona people stealing from us, that our electric bill next year is going up 17%. Our water bill at our other house that we had when my wife and I were first married is doubling. And this is all to support the AI data centers. We're getting raped by these people.
Hey, here in Texas, when the war in Ukraine started up, okay, what was that, 21, 2021 time frame, 22? We had an electric bill that went from like 200 something dollars a month, and then it went to 300. It's almost never went back down. And then 400, and then 500, 600, 700, 800. It rose to $900, and then it started to come back down. Okay. This was all so that we could send liquid natural gas to Ukraine. And that was Greg Abbott who did that. And because we sent liquid natural gas to Ukraine, and me and my wife actually called the local Tri-County Electric, we talked to a person in there. And they said, this is what's going on. This is, I think it was an executive order that was made by Abbott to help the war effort over in Ukraine. None of us paid for that. None of us agreed for that. There wasn't a vote for it. So the abuse of states' rights and the abuse from the federal government, I'm done with it, man. I'm so over it.
Oh, I hear you. I hear you. We, to me, I do think we can carve out a decent existence with solidified effort among multiple citizens. Now, will that happen? Well, I hate to be the bearer of bad news. I think we have two chances, Slim and none, and Slim just left town. Maybe we will. Maybe if we herd enough, people will say enough's enough. But yeah, we right now, our government is being run by the oligarchs. Okay, but folks, don't think you can go back to the good old days with Biden. They were run by the Bolshevik communists. Choose your poison. And Doug, you mentioned this some time ago, and I actually was talking about this back in 08, in the 08 campaign. There's the new version of the New World Order, and there's the old version. The old version is the Europe Bank of International Settlements, so forth and so on, the City of London. The new is the oligarchs, the Peter Thiels and Silicon Valley that Trump is butting up to. Now, Silicon Valley has not shown a propensity to want to start a lot of wars. We know the history of the bad guys that have been around for hundreds of years. But I think it's choose your poison. I don't think either outcome is good.
This is a multi-headed hydra that is eating itself until there's one survivor, and that'll be the New World Order. That's what it is.
Well, the Bible does talk about Satan's effort, and that's why the Tower of Babel was messed up. And Doug, I'm going to really go out on a limb here. Three-Eye Atlas, Oumuamua, UFO sightings, congressional hearings, disclosures, admissions that people would have been laughed at before.
Stephen Greer doing
Oh, I
seances
know.
and talking to the aliens.
I hear you. Listen, I hear you. To me, I think this is the great deception. I think we're going to see an alien presence, but it's going to be Satan's demons, not real aliens.
Yeah, at this rate, I mean, sure, why not? There's so many people being deceived without it. I mean, you have the great falling away happening right now without alien deception and monsters and giants and the Illuminati. Just wait till all that stuff comes. And people are going to be running for the hills. They'll be running to anything that they think they can find security. And that's how they deny Christ.
Before we go,
Anything
I
but.
wanted to ask you this question. We were talking on the before we went on the air about the mega churches decline, like Joel Osteen's down over 50%, and Rick Warren's empire that he built for his death has declined by about 70%. Where are the people going that no longer go to these mega churches? Is it falling away from Christianity, or is it coming out in a different form?
It's both. There are people who are losing their faith in Jesus, and there are people who are finding that the church, churchianity, not Christianity, but churchianity is not what it was, or not what it would actually is presuming itself to be. People are finding that these self-righteous preachers and false prophets, false doctrine, the big New Apostolic Reformation, NAR centers, Bethel, Hillsong, you name it. The lies, the deceptions, the conspiracies, the amount of backbiting that's happening, the amount of fleecing the flock for your money, the amount of just twisting of doctrine that's going on. God is calling people out of it. Here's one thing to be very aware of. It's only a remnant. Okay? If there's 10,000 people sitting still in that, millionaire pastor's church, and only 50 or 60 were called out. God calls people to him. You better be putting your ear to the Bible and doing your best to hear from the word of God, not from a man's mouth, from the Lord. You better be a good Berean, and you better double check and hold that preacher to a standard of actual biblical doctrine. Not from what you think you want to hear, not for your tickling ears, not for your entertainment. That's how you go to hell. That's how you get deceived and you drag others with you, because then you are then going to be the next virus spreading the lies of deception. What we need is the light of Christ to shine upon his people and only few are going to be called out of it, man. I don't know how to break this to people. You learn of the parable of the sower and the seeds. One in four is going to hear the word, and one, that fourth seed, one is going to actually cling to that old rugged cross. One's going to hear it and scoff and run. One's going to hear it, and they're going to have little roots, little stem, little flower. Here comes the sun, burnt up because they had no faith, back to the world and the addictions of sin they went. The third one, they look like they've grown a lot. They talk the talk, they walk the walk, but they're so surrounded by the world, and the thorns have grown up around them that it choked out the light. How can you be walking in the light of Christ and then you're not there anymore? As the Bible says, how dark is that darkness? And then there's the fourth one, who clung to God's word, who stayed true, who was clothed in Christ. They followed the commandments. You know what Jesus says? Friends, you want to be a friend of Jesus? Follow my commandments, and you will be my friends. Follow my commandments. He says this also in Revelation. Follow my commandments. People don't want to follow the commandments, Dave. They want to rule thyself. They want to let their own self-will guide their life. People want to have a presumption of holiness, but not the actual power thereof. People want to presume that they're saved, but not actually walk on that straight and narrow path. They want to do everything that they want to do. They think it's Burger King. They can have it their way. In Proverbs, it says, don't even look upon the path that a wicked man takes. Don't look at it. Don't even glance your eye at that temptation. If you were walking a plank, all right? If you were walking a plank and below you is a sea infested with sharks, and you just take one hair of a step off, where are you going, man? Off into the waters of deception where the demons are there to chomp on you. Or stay on that straight and narrow path and cling to it. And every brother and sister you see that passes by you, do your best to be a good brother and sister to them, help bear up their burdens. When, hey, if someone's sinning, call it out. That's what you're supposed to do.
Do you trust any church?
I trust Jesus. I put my hope in God. That's what I do. And that's what I would tell anyone to do. Before I leave, I want to give this one warning. I'm not going to say that there's not good churches out there, good congregations, and good people doing the right thing, and good pastors, because there are. And they're growing smaller and smaller because the Bible says it will. What you should do is if you get your meat from YouTube, you better be careful that you're not being fed poison. Just because the person who speaks it tickles your ear and you like their motivational speeches and their self-helps and you like their stories and their nephilimry that they fill your head up with, they never talk about conviction of sin, they never talk about repentance, they never talk about the need for water baptism, but they're focused on all this other stuff, then maybe it's time to turn the internet off, to open up your Bible, and to actually get into the meat of his word. Paul says, for all you on the milk, that it is time to get off of it as quickly as possible. Learn the basic tenets of your faith. Learn about what all is it's all about, what Jesus did for you, and then get into the deeper matters. Because that's how we can then start helping be an accountability partner to our brothers and sisters and honor our Lord by our actions. Your works are not going to get you into heaven,
That's
but faith
true.
without
That is
works is
absolutely a true
dead.
statement. Doug, we're flat out of time. I just want to say, I don't know what I want to say now. I do agree with your advice that you need to be in charge of your own level of spiritual commitment. And if you're depending on artificial motivation, that doesn't work in any field, and it especially doesn't work in our field. Our guest here has been Doug Thornton. We do intel here, and you heard a lot of it here tonight with a spiritual overtone. Tell us what you think. Are you preparing spiritually for what's coming? Because this isn't just a physical or a currency war. This is a spiritual war at its root. And we would encourage you to take sides quickly. Doug, thanks for coming on again. It's great doing a show with you, and we'll talk soon.
All right, buddy. Thanks, man.